Well, good morning, Northridge Church. Welcome home and welcome to the family. I can't tell you how pumped, excited, jammed. I'll use every adjective that means happy and excited to tell you we're glad that you are here. No matter where you're joining us from, whether it's our physical locations or our online campus, thanks for being here. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And, you know, I want to do something with you. I want to take you back to a place maybe you don't want to go to. Some of you are there right now. Our high school and our middle schoolers are right there, so you're going to relate to this really well. But I want to take everybody back to that high school, that middle school cafeteria. Every service has done that. I'm not sure I want to go there. And some of us, we grunt because we don't want to admit how long of a journey it is back there. But let's go there, right? We can all envision it, right? The bell rings, class is over, and it's lunchtime. And so we go to the cafeteria, we wait in line, and finally the line kind of goes fast, and we get our tray, and we begin the process, right? We grab our drink, we grab our entree, and we get our sides. We can't wait to eat the cafeteria food because it's so good, and we've got all the things, we check out, and then all of a sudden that moment happens that just breathes a whole lot of anxiousness in our hearts. Is we step out into the cafeteria and we see table after table after table filled with people, empty chairs here and there. And we wonder in this moment as we step out into this vastness full of tables and people, where do I sit? Where is my spot in this journey? I mean, there's a bunch of empty chairs, but what if I sit in a chair where the people at the table don't want me? What if I go to a place where I feel like I belong, but they don't? We kind of all know that feeling of wondering, where is my space? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And what's interesting is that question, that feeling doesn't just stay in high school and middle school. It kind of travels with us all throughout our lives. See, there's moments and pockets and seasons of our lives where we wonder that very question. Where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Where are my people? And if you haven't been with us, or maybe you've been in and out, we've been in this series since like the second week of January called The Search Within. Because in our lives, we have these pockets where we look inside and we wonder these existential, fundamental questions that all revolve around who we are and our identity. Week one, we answered two questions, right? Where do I go to find the answers? And where do I come from? Week two, we talked about what's my problem? Like we talked about this problem that we all have with sin and how Jesus is the solution. Week three, last week, we talked about purpose, right? We're all wondering, what is our purpose in life? What was I made for? And we talked about how Jesus, in everything, when we know Jesus, he gives us purpose no matter what we do. And this morning, we're going to continue in this series by answering the question, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? And honestly, to answer that question, I think the first question we have to ask is, why do we even ask that question? Why do all of us have this longing in our hearts to find our place? Why are we asking, where do I find belonging in the first place? And I think to answer that question, you got to go back to the very beginning. You see, in week one, we were in Genesis, and we looked at Genesis chapter one. We looked at the creation account, that God spoke what we see and know and touch into existence. From day one to day six, God created the world, from light to land and sea to animals and humanity. And after God was done creating, he stepped back and he evaluated. And in Genesis chapter two, look what God says. God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, if you've been around Northridge Church, you've probably heard these very words. We talk about them a lot, of our need to live in community. Because from the very beginning of creation, from the foundation of the earth, God created humanity for relationships. to live in relationships. Now, it would be easy for us to assume that, oh, well, this is just an adjustment God made based off of sin, right? Sin entered the picture, jacked everything up, and therefore, because of sin, we now need other people. But hold on a second. There's an important distinction here. This is Genesis chapter 2. The fall of humanity hasn't happened. This is a perfect, flawless world that God created. And in that perfect, flawless world, God noticed that you and I, we need others. We were created for relational, we are relational beings. We are hardwired for connection. Two types of connection, connection with God and connection with others. Now, let's be honest. This really isn't a newsflash to anyone. We all have this desire for relationships. We all have this desire to belong. That's the way we were created. And we were reminded of this very harshly in 2020. We saw the damage that happens when we are void of relational connection and how it impacts us physically, mentally, and spiritually. Because when we don't have connection, it causes problems. That's the way God created us. Now, it's easy in that creation to think my need for others is a weakness. It's a flaw, but it's not. Our need for relationships is not a weakness, but what it is it's a reflection of our divine design. It's a mirror image of our actual creator, because one thing we miss about God, we confuse about God, is God, our creator, lives in relationships. You see, many of us, when it comes to Christianity, where we often get it wrong is we believe that Christianity is all about religion. And religion tells you that God wants from you to always get it right, to check the right boxes, to look the part, and yet God wants from you a relationship. He wants to walk with you throughout life. He wants you to dwell in his presence. He wants to be there for you. It's not about religion that you check the right boxes or look the part. It's that throughout your life, you cling to a relationship with God. And so when it comes to this question, right, why do we belong? We ask this question because we were created this way. But then that comes the next question, right? Like, okay, if I was created for belonging, where do I find it? That's the problem we all face. That's why we ask the question. Like, I know I belong somewhere, but I have no clue how to find where I belong. And so here's what we do. We try to find belonging everywhere. We try to find belonging at work. We go to work and we try to build relationships and we try to find our space. Or we go to our social clubs, our book clubs, and we make new relationships and we want to belong there. Or it's our sports teams or our schools or wherever we go in our neighborhoods to build relationships and find belonging. And those are all great places to have relationships, to connect with others. And yet we do all of those things, and yet inside of us we still don't feel like we belong. There's something lacking. What is it? Well, I would suggest many of those things are based off of performance. You are accepted there because you perform. It's more about what you bring and your performance rather than this deep, satisfying spiritual connection in what you were made for. So we wonder, like, where do I belong? They lack. And here's what we have to understand about belonging, this thing that we all want. Belonging isn't based on what you accomplish or what you bring to a relationship, but rather the unshakable truth of whose you are. You see, many of us, we don't find belonging because we think we only belong is if we can bring something or achieve something for someone else. But true belonging isn't based on what you do. True belonging is already based on what Christ has done for you. That through his cross and his resurrection, you don't have to earn a place to belong. He's already given it to you, a family to belong to. In fact, Paul talks about this. In Ephesians chapter 2, look what Paul says. He says, consequently, so when you believe in Jesus, consequently, he says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. What's true about foreigners and strangers? They are looking for a place to belong. Paul says, you're not that anymore. He says, but you are a fellow citizen with God's people and also members of his household. Amen. That God has given you through his cross and his resurrection. When you believe in it, when you surrender to it, God has given you the place of belonging you're searching for. In fact, I think Paul is trying to teach us something about what we're doing right now. Over multiple locations, we are called Northridge Church. We are the church. And I think fundamentally, we throw that word church out so much, but yet do we truly grasp what it is? Because the church, it's not a gathering place. It's not a place we show up and gather together. It is a family we belong to. It is a household. It is God's household. And he has invited us to be a part of it through his work, his death, and his resurrection. It's the place that we belong to. It's our family. And here's what I know about family. You can't be fired from family. Praise the Lord, honestly. But we all know in family, sometimes there's family members that just don't carry their weight. You know what I'm saying? Like, now's not the time to elbow anybody, okay? And if you don't feel like you need to elbow anybody, it's probably you not carrying your weight. And can I be honest? I was that family member once. When I was young, probably around 7 to 10, there was this running joke in my family. When I think about family, the first image that I have is a table. Right? Because in my family, this was the space where our family gathered. We would have meals every night at our table. It was valuable to us because in the commotion of life, it was where our family got together, we enjoyed food, and we were just a family together. And there's this running joke in our house. My brothers remind me of it every time we get together and we eat at a table, is they say, oh no, here comes Drew's dishwasher diarrhea. I know y'all are like, what did he just say? Here's the reality. Here's what they say about me. They said, you know, our job as a family, mom and dad would cook the meal, set the table. Our job as kids was to clear it, to clean it. And they told me all the time when I was younger, whenever it was time to clean the family table, I would always have to go to the bathroom. And when I went to the bathroom, I never showed back up to the table until it was cleared. Dishwasher diarrhea. Yeah, I know. Praise the Lord, right? I'm smarter than I look. But here's the truth about a family. Even when you don't pull your weight, family picks up the slack. Family doesn't stop loving you, doesn't quit on you. No, when you're a part of a family, you love and you care no matter what someone is doing or going through, because that's what a family is. And John says it like this. He says, but to all, so this is open to anybody, to all who believed in him, that's Jesus, and accept him. So to anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, it says he, Jesus, gives you the right to become a child of God, part of the family. And so if you're searching for a place to belong, when you choose to follow Jesus, here's what Paul is trying to teach us, that God's church, his people, is where you belong. This is the family. And can I tell you, church, if the church is not a place where people can belong, we are doing something wrong. We are missing it because God invites us to be members of his household. And when you are part of a family, we all know this, we're all parts of family. It means that you have a role to play in that family, right? You have a job, an assignment in the family, just like I did as a little kid. And Paul talks about this. He says in Romans, he says, just as our bodies have many parts and each has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. See, Paul teaches the church, you're part of God's family. This is where you belong. And when you belong somewhere, you want to be a part of it. You want to play your role in the family. And Paul says, hey, what's amazing is God has designed each and every one of you uniquely, with a unique gift that you can use to benefit the family as a whole, because you have a role to play in this family. You are uniquely designed for that role by God. Let me put it to you in a way that I think you might relate to. My oldest son, Malachi, he's 8 years old, and it's been awesome just watching him grow up and to see his gifts come out. And Malachi has just this really, really unique gift set of like putting things together intricately, like methodically. He has this ability to figure out how things work and adjust them and make them better. I'm telling you, one day he's gonna be an amazing engineer. And so Malachi, you can imagine at 8 years old, he loves Legos. In fact, you were given a Lego today, weren't you? Come on, show me your Lego at all of our locations. Come on, hi, Webster and Brian, I wanna see him. Show me your Legos. And so every once in a while, Malachi loves Christmas and his birthday because he always asks for Legos. And so he loves to sit at our bar, open a box, and if you've ever seen these Lego kits, they come with like 7,000 pieces, it feels like. They're in bags, there's instructions. And so Malachi has this amazing methodic process. He lays all his Legos out in bags in order. He follows the directions, and he slowly puts it together one by one by one. And he creates some amazing masterpieces. But Malachi has a problem. He has a younger brother. Baylor is 3. He's about to be 3. And Baylor loves his older brother. He looks up to his older brother. And so anytime Malachi is doing something, Baylor wants to be a part of it. He wants to watch it. And so you can imagine these two little guys sitting at our bar top, countertop. Malachi is slowly putting together his Lego. Baylor is watching in awe. But Baylor gets kind of bored watching. And you could see it in Baylor's eyes. He's like, good job, Malachi. Good job, Malachi. But all of a sudden, Malachi looks away. And Baylor, good job, Malachi. Good job, Malachi. And he takes just a couple little pieces of Legos. And who would think that a piece this small could make that big of a difference? But if you take one piece this small away from the masterpiece that Malachi was building, it could ruin everything. And I think when Paul writes to the church in Rome, I think he's trying to remind us of that. That we are members of God's church. We are his family. We've been designed. Even though we might feel small and insignificant, our role is valuable. It's important. And sometimes when you take away the smallest piece, it hurts the whole. It hurts the whole. Yeah, sure, God will build his church without us. He doesn't need us. But he invites us to be a part of building something way bigger than us. So as we think about this question, where do I belong? As you look at your life, I want to ask you just one question. Have you found where you truly belong? Or are you still at the middle school and high school cafeteria, looking out of the vastness of your life and the places you've been, wondering, where is my seat? Where are my people? Where do I fit in? And can I suggest, maybe you found it. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the family that you belong to, a family that will care for you, love for you, and a family where you can play a role. Because here's what I've learned over my years of wanting a place to belong. I've learned that we get it backwards sometimes. I've learned that sometimes we feel like we can't truly contribute until we belong. But here's the truth. When you choose to contribute, when you choose to play your part, it often leads to the belonging we're looking for. It often leads to a sense of, man, this is my family. And through me doing my part, this is my place. So rather than just take my word for it, today we're gonna share with you stories specific to your campus. Today over all of our campuses, we're gonna be sharing 11 stories of people who are looking for where they belong. And they found it here through playing their role in this family.
My name is Lynn Knowles. I play a role in various areas of kids ministry.
So my name's Amon Hudson. I've been a member here at Northridge for about 2 years, and I am a greeter at the back door.
So my name's Carl Groth, and I serve in a few different positions. I started off and continue to do greeting. A couple years ago, I started doing the security, and most recently, I joined the prayer team. A couple years ago, I was just kind of feeling not myself, not of any value, not of any worth, and I've got a lot of physical and kind of mental things going on, but I prayed for 4 or 5 months straight, just God, give me purpose. And then all of a sudden, service positions started to open up here. And it wasn't me, but my hand just kept going up. And next thing you know, my plate is full. And that allowed me to meet more people. And then more people met me. And then it really just, it took me out of my shell. And I started to feel comfortable here. I started really, when I greeted people, I'm welcome home, so glad you're here. And I say it and I mean it.
I believe that the church you go to should be a place where you get spiritually fed, you can grow, and you can serve. The first two are taken care of, so it's on me to do the serving part.
Drew always talks about Northridge being a family, and I just feel that if you're a part of a family, you do what you can to help. So there's been a lot of times where I've been approached to help, and I don't feel confident. But Drew also said that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So I hold on to that because I'm winging a lot of things when I'm volunteering.
I feel part of a team. I feel part of something great that's happening here at Northridge. Part of, I guess the Northridge family, as we always say, welcome home. So that's where I kind of feel that sense of purpose.
Anytime I've served, I get more out of it than I put into it. Even when I go in not thinking I can do it, after a while, I realize that I'm actually getting more out of it than I expected.
I feel it's important to serve because you have to be able to be a follower before you're a leader. You have to be able to serve before you can be served, and you have to be able to follow before you can lead. You have to be a student before you're a teacher. And you see that from a biblical example, if we look at Joshua and Moses, if we look at even David and Saul. David served Saul, and Saul didn't even like him, but he did it because it was the right thing to do, not so much because he wanted accolades.
By serving, it gives you an opportunity to look forward to coming in and meeting people and talking to them. Because when you're in your volunteer environment, you get time to talk to people, have conversations, find out about them. And if we were just to walk in, go into the sermon and sit down and then come out, have our coffee, you talk for a little bit, but there's always interruption. And so when you're serving with people, you get an opportunity to build relationships.
I feel more part of Northridge today because it's always a spot where I can slide in there and be of service. And everybody just welcomes me and embraces me and looks for spots for me to be of service, I got no problem washing other people's feet. I got no problem. My leader is a servant, So if I can do everything with the same or at least a similar servant heart, and I'm moving in the right direction.